series here on what is it to preach Christ, what is our message. And I sincerely, by the grace and mercy of God, want to deal and preach not only the things about Christ, but our Lord Jesus Himself, to where He can be seen, can be recognized from His Word. But here in verse 8, it says, Ephesians 3:8, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints." We talked this morning about a man emptying himself. Well, there's a man who did. Less than the least of all the saints. You find the least, and he said, "I'm less than that." "Is this grace given, that abundant grace beyond measure, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Christ Jesus." I want to talk about the riches of Christ. The riches of Christ. God gave Paul a ministry, gave him grace, and He gave him grace that he should preach among heathen like ourselves, Gentiles like ourselves, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Now, in preaching the Lord Jesus, we told you we preach the good news. The good news. Oh, what good news it is. Amen. If you ever get lost, oh my soul, what good news it is. And Holy Ghost conviction is something that very few people know anything about. Don't know what it is to be lost. Don't know what it is to need a Savior, to actually need to be saved. They need to change their way of living sometimes. They need to change some of their habits. They need to change the styles that they have and things like that. But oh, if you ever become a sinner, a God-made sinner, a Holy Ghost-made sinner, that's when Christ becomes good news to you. Until that happens, it's just another message. And then we tell thoroughly. We tell all that we tell thoroughly. We don't just, it's just something that we have to do over and over and over again and go through it as thoroughly as we can to tell them all that we can possibly think and all that we know about our blessed Savior. And take heed that we declare the full counsel, the whole counsel of God. And may our covenant God enable us, every opportunity we get to talk to somebody, to preach Christ Jesus, our Lord, faithfully. Now, some think that preaching Christ and Him crucified, that restricts the preacher. That binds him up, that it don't give him enough to say. Don't give him enough to say. You reckon that's right? But here it says, Paul said, "I preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." Can we exhaust the subject of the Lord Jesus? Can we exhaust the subject of Him being crucified? Of course not. His riches are unsearchable. And I want us to just look at two places tonight where I think the Scripture set forth to some degree His riches in particular places. Now, just not to say that just there. They're all the way through the Scriptures, as they're found in all the Isaiah 53. Oh my, how unsearchable, how wealthy, how much wealth of Christ is made manifest in Isaiah 53. How much is? How much is made manifest in Isaiah 9:6? Brad preached from that here recently. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Thou shalt call His name Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And upon His shoulder shall the government be, and of His reign there shall be no end. And how about in Exodus 12? Well, there He's the Passover Lamb. That's the beginning. God said, "This is your beginning. The lamb slain, the lamb's blood shed, the lamb's blood applied, the lamb eaten. This is your beginning." From now on, you scout your time from this forward. Before that, you had no life. You were slaves. You were in bondage. And so you see, the Scriptures are so full of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're made wealthy. The Apostle said in 1 Corinthians 1, he said, we're enriched by Christ. That means made wealthy in Christ. Made wealthy in Him. So let's look first of all to see some of the riches in Christ in Ephesians chapter 1, where they just contain so abundantly in some Scriptures here. So we're enriched in Christ, made wealthy in Christ. But look here in verse 3. Oh, here's where we start. Oh, what spiritual blessings. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly things, in heavenly places, in Christ. Now, these spiritual blessings He sets out right in order, right in front of us. He begins to show us to them. And He shows us the source of these riches that we have in Christ. They're given to us, first of all, in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're abundant in Christ. And He's made us rich in Christ. And they're spiritual blessings that we have in Christ. And here's one of the riches that we have in Him in verse 4. First of all, we have election.
Yeah.
Oh, my soul. Huh? How does election, how does being chosen enrich us? Look what He says there. According as He hath chose us. This is one of the spiritual blessings. Chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. How in the world does this make us wealthy? How does this enrich us? Well, look over in Romans chapter 8. Let's look at it just a minute and see. Oh, how does being chosen in Christ? This is just some of the wealth that we have in Him. Romans 8:28. Oh, some of the wealth and the riches that's in Christ that we enjoy being united to Him. It says here in verse 28, and we know, we don't think, we don't have a theory about it, we don't philosophize about it. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Now watch this. For whom He did foreknow.
Yes, sir.
He also did predestinate. You see, God's foreknowledge, His electing us, His foreknowledge of us, His choice of us, His people, is the foundation of all we possess and all we hope for in Christ. Now that enriches me. That makes me wealthy. That shows me something of the wealth and the riches we have in God. That God foreknew me and you before the foundation of the world. Foreloved us. And since He foreloved us and foreknew us, He chose us in Christ. He elected us in Christ. And oh, and it says here, and we have a foreordained, that aggravating thing, we have a foreordained destination. We already look what it says. Whom He did predestinate. He also, not only did He foreknow us, He predestinated. He had a preordained destination for us. And I'll deal with that later. A preordained destination. Before He ever chose us in Christ. Before He ever called us in Christ. He already knew us. And in choosing us and electing us, He foreordained a destination for us.
Amen.
A place that we was going to end up at. Where are we going to end up at? To be conformed to the image of His Son. Huh? And oh, not only that, but this, you're talking about giving us a sure. His foreknowing meant that we would be called in verse 14. Moreover, whom He did predestinate or foreordain to a destination, He called them. And He justified them. And He glorified them. Oh my, so this gives us assurance. He calls us and justifies. And we're just as bound for glory because of this foreknowledge of God, this electing grace of God Almighty.
Amen.
And not only that, but it gives us assurance for the world we live in right now. This electing grace of God, this foreknowledge of God gives us assurance for where we're at right now. Back up in verse 28. It says, all things work together for give them to love God and the called according to His purpose. Huh? It works together for our good. That gives us assurance now. What's going to happen? We sung that song this morning. Jesus doeth all things well. I know Jesus doeth all things well. We may not see it. We may not even enjoy what we're going through. We may at some times ask ourselves, how in the world is this possibly working for my good? But I tell you, how merciful is God Almighty? How gracious is God Almighty to us to knock the props out from under us?
Amen.
To strip us, to send troubles, to send trials, to send heartaches, to send confusion, to send fears and doubts, to continually keep us looking to Him. Because if He didn't do that, we would not look to Him. He said the sin of Sodom and of your sister Sodom was, first of all, fullness of bread. When a man gets fat, he gets lazy. And idleness, then he gets idle. And then when he gets proud, and just as sure if God don't keep us down. And that's why He's working. He's continually everything about us. He's working. And that gives us assurance right now. Because see, He's already called us. And He's justified us and He glorified us. He's done that in His foreknowledge. And He foreordained us to this destination of being called and justified and being glorified. To bring us to that end, to cause us to seek Him and to get all the glory, He's just got to keep us whittled away.
Amen.
And I thank God He does. What would we be if He didn't do that? You know how long we'd stay saved? Whew. We'd stay long enough for a coffee to cool. Huh? And oh my, back over here now in Ephesians 1. And all, not only that, but we was predestined in love. It says not only He elect us, and we have this election, this is the riches in Christ, but He says that we're predestinated in love. He says, and here's the reason, you see, in verse 4, it says that we should behold Him without blame before Him in love. You see, why were we chosen? That we should be holy and without blame. What is it to be holy? You know, people talk about holiness. We need to practice holiness, and we need to attain to holiness. Holiness is a state of being.
That's right.
We grow in grace. We grow in knowledge. We grow in the fruit of the Spirit. And we manifest more of the fruit of the Spirit. But is God more holy at one time than He is another?
No.
Huh? So can we be more holy at one time than we can be at another?
No, sir.
Holiness is a state of being, and God chose us in Christ that we should be holy. Holy. How can He have anything to do with anything than holy? Everything in the tabernacle was holy. Everybody had candles, but the one that God said, that's mine, that made it holy. And so God made us, chose us to be holy, and He chose us to be without blame.
Amen.
God Himself comes down and says, I don't find no blame. I find no fault. I find no blemish because of this. And oh, what spiritual blessing, what riches we have in Christ. And then look what He says. And then it's predestined in love. In love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. Oh, you see, let me tell you something. He chose us to adopt us. He elected us to adopt us. And this is the destination of all whom Christ redeemed. Now let me tell you something about predestination. Wherever you find the word predestination in the Scriptures, it always tells you the destination you're predetermined to be. It always tells you it means the destination you're going to arrive at. Here, this predestination means that we're going to arrive at the place of being adopted to sons. We were predestinated to become the sons of God, to be adopted. God had one son, only one. Only one that was like Him. Only one that had His nature. Only one who had His soul. Only one just like Him. Only one equal with Him. Only one whom is the heir. Only one that He loved and that well pleased Him. But He says, I'm going to have a multitude that no man can number. And I'm going to take them all in my family. And I'm going to call them all my sons. And I'm going to call them all my daughters. And I'm going to be their God. And they're going to be my people. And I'm going to make them heirs.
Amen.
With my blessed Son. Huh? You see, predestined always shows the intended destination. We were predestinated to be the sons of God. And because we're sons, He sent the Spirit of His Son into our heart, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We cry, Father, Father. And oh my, and He makes us sons. And that's why our Lord Jesus said He's going to bring many who? Sons unto glory. And He makes us holy. He makes us sons. He makes us without blame. And He elected us. And He done all this in love. Oh, what riches. To be loved of God eternally. To be chosen of God Himself, irrespective of who you are and what you've done. Clothed in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Adopted as God's children. You all see all these news shows. There's some stations that once a week they'll have a child that they always have on there, you know, that wants to be taken in and be adopted. And it's the saddest thing. Boy, they have these poor little kids on there. And they have girls and boys and black ones and white ones. Nobody's ever taken them in. Nobody's ever adopted them. Some of them have special needs. Some of them's in poverty. And here we were. God says, I'm going to adopt you as my God the Father. Eternal God the Father says, I'm going to take you into my family. I'm going to make you legally my children. I'm going to give you my name. Oh, you've got every kind of infirmity. You ain't got sense enough to know straight down. But He says, I'm going to make you my son. I'm going to adopt you. And I do that because I love you.
Amen.
How could He love me? And that's what every one of them says. I'd just like somebody to take me in. And I'd love to have a family and somebody love me. It's what they always say. And He adopted us as God's dear children. And He predestined us for glory. And predestinated us to be conformed to His blessed Son one of these days. And then look at the riches of His grace down here. We see the riches of His election. Look at the riches of His grace there in verse 6. To the praise of the glory of His grace wherein He hath made us accepted. What does grace do? How rich is Christ in grace? First of all, it makes us accepted in the Beloved. Accepted in Christ. God's beloved Son. This is my beloved Son whom I'm well pleased. There we are. We're in Him. We're accepted in Him. Accepted as Him Himself. And not only that, but we've been redeemed by His blood, in whom we have redemption through His blood. He paid for our sins. He paid our debt. He put away our sins by His blood. And that's why it says the forgiveness of sins.
Yeah.
We have the forgiveness of sins. I don't want nobody ever hold anything against me if I can help it at all. And if I wrong people, I want their forgiveness. But oh, one thing I want above everything in this world, I want to know that my sins are gone. Did you hear what Jesus said to me? They're all taken away.
They are.
Sins go! Where are they at? God said, I put them behind a thick cloud. God said, I cast them into the depth of the sea. God said, I put them behind my back. God said, they put them all away. And God said, I'll never remember them against you ever again.
Amen.
Why? Because we've been redeemed by the blessed blood of Christ. And this grace is not only given to us, but given to us in abundance. Look down there in verse 8. Wherein He hath abounded. Don't talk about Bill. Wherein He hath abounded toward us in wisdom. Oh my. This grace is given to us in abundance in wisdom. And oh, in His blessed prudence. And oh, this grace that God gives to us, makes us accepted, that redeems us and forgives us of our sin, and gives us in abundance in His wisdom. Also reveals to us God's ultimate purpose. Look there in verse 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one.
Yes.
All things in Christ. Things in heaven, things in earth. That's God's ultimate purpose. He's going to gather together all of His people from Abel to the end of the world. Those in glory and those on earth. Going to gather up. Jew and Gentile, bond and free. Going to make them all, gather them all together.
Amen.
In the Lord Jesus Christ. Huh? Oh my. That's what he said. We'll enter into the kingdom and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And oh, not only that, but you know what? There's more. There's more. Look there in verse 11. We've also obtained an inheritance. You know, oh boy. You know, most of us, if we leave anything at all, it ain't going to amount to much. You know, it really ain't going to amount to much. Leave a few clothes, just a little bit of money, a house, you know, that's going to rot, probably need to be worked on. Maybe a tool here or yonder. Insurance policy, maybe. And it got it and it's gone. But here we've obtained an inheritance. that's Christ Himself, the wealth of Christ, the riches of Christ. And this is what, not only that, but we were predestinated to this inheritance. You see, there's every time you find it, it tells you what you're preordained, destined to. We were predestined to this inheritance. Before I was ever born, God had an inheritance for me.
Amen.
This riches, this wealth, this glory, this grace, this blessedness, this salvation, this redemption, all of it was predestinated to be mine and yours in Christ. This abundance of wealth that we have in Him. Oh my. And who done this? Him who works all things after the counsel of His own will. That's who done this for us. That's who predestinated us. And oh my, and I was going to use those verses that Bill read there in 1 Peter tonight. 1, according as God has begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ according to His abundant mercy, 2, an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, reserved in heaven for you. Who are you? Those that He begot again unto a lively hope. Those that He gave abundant mercy to. Those who, beloved, has a reservation for. Those who are kept by the power of God. Oh my. And then, oh my, we ain't done yet. Look down here in verse 13. We've been sealed. In whom we also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation. In whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That word sealed has two meanings. First of all, the first one is that seal I talked about this morning. You know, God has, we have this seal. The Lord knows them that are His. That means He puts His stamp on us. He imprints on us. Seal, them are mine. And He puts His mark on us.
Yeah.
Sealed. It also means this, that you, like you seal something to where it's preserved and it can't get out and it stays like it is forever. And that means, beloved, we're in His hands, God's hands, and the Holy Spirit's hands, and we're sealed and we can't get out. And I don't know if anybody's ever known Him that wanted out of you. But we want in more. Get me in more. Show me more. Teach me more. Oh my. And not only that, but look here. And the Holy Spirit of promise we've been sealed by, that's the guarantee of our inheritance. Being sealed by the Holy Spirit is the guarantee of our inheritance. Huh? Oh, until the day that He comes and gets it. We're guaranteed. How do we know? The Holy Spirit in us. The Holy Spirit sealing us. Oh my. Could we exhaust the riches of Christ? I'm just going through this so fast. But could we exhaust the riches of Christ? Oh, how these things comfort us. Election. Predestination. Calling. Justification. Glorification. Redemption. Acceptance. Grace. Wisdom. Abundance of mercy. Oh, how these things comfort us. How they give assurance to us. How they feed us. And most of all, here's what I love about all of these blessed truths. They give all the glory to God and His Son in Jesus Christ our Lord. That's what I love about it. It makes my salvation sure, not on me. It shows you everything that He did. Only thing it talks about us in here is what He gave us.
Yes, sir.
What He did for us. Don't say anything about what we did for Him or what we're going to do for Him. That's what I love. That makes it sure for me. And let me show you another one over here in Colossians chapter 1. Let me show you another one. I'm just trying to show you a couple places where the abundance of the wealth of Christ dwells, in just a couple places in the Scriptures. And not only, beloved, do we have this riches of grace and this wealth of grace in Christ, showing the unsearchable riches of Christ, this riches of grace, this riches of election, this riches of predestination, but also all the fullness that we have in Him, all the fullness that dwells in Him. He says here in verse 9, first of all, He says, "We pray for you that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Oh my. Be filled with the knowledge of God's will and wisdom and spiritual understanding. Where are you going to learn this? Get this will. The knowledge of this will and this wisdom and spiritual understanding. And oh, He said, that's what I want you to have. I want you to have spiritual wisdom, spiritual understanding. I want you to have the knowledge of the will of God. Where is all these things hid at? Well, look over here in verse 3 of chapter 2. In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So we want to know God. We want to have spiritual understanding. We want to have spiritual wisdom in the Scriptures. Spiritual wisdom concerning ourselves and those around us. They all dwell in His blessed Son. They're hid in Him. And oh, beloved, if you know Him and you study Him and seek Him, then we'll have this spiritual wisdom and knowledge. And oh, we'll have the will of God fulfilled in us just like Christ did. Look over here in Proverbs chapter 8 with me. Now you keep Colossians there and look over here in Proverbs 8. Proverbs 8, just a moment. Oh my, you see, that's where we're going to get this. How wealthy would we be in this wisdom and knowledge? Oh, if we have this wisdom and knowledge, how wealthy would we be? How rich would we be? How rich would we be to have these unsearchable riches of Christ? Here He says in verse 10, "Receive my instruction, and not silver." Now watch this. "And knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared with it." And oh, to have this spiritual wisdom, take all the gold, all the silver, it's not worth what we know in Christ. And to be filled with this, to have this. Look back over with me now in Colossians. And He says, I want you to have this. I want you to increase in this knowledge of God. In the last part of verse 10 here, for Colossians 1, I want you to increase. Praise that you might increase in this knowledge of God. You see, beloved, increasing in this knowledge of God, this would make us, in this spiritual wisdom and understanding, would make us all worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. You see, as we increase in the wisdom and knowledge of Christ and the wealth that we have in Christ, the riches that's in Christ, we would walk more worthy, more honorable, more glorifying to our blessed Savior because we'd consider Him. We would ponder Him. We would think of Him. And we would want to walk worthy of Him. And as more we increase in knowledge of Him, the more we'd walk worthy of Him. And that walk worthy means that it don't walk worthy of His name. He's the one that's worthy. And walk worthy according to His glory and His power and His majesty. Not to bring anything to ourselves. But how should we walk with the perfection that we know Christ? How should we walk if we say we know God? And this walk don't mean how we walk. It means how we live. The manner of life that we have in this world. Oh my. And then look here. And if we have this knowledge, increasing this knowledge will give us strength. It'll give us strength. We'll be strength according to His glorious power, according to His might. You see, as we increase in knowledge, increase in this wisdom, and increase in this wealth of the unsearchable riches of Christ, it gives us strength. We're strengthened with God's might, according to God's glorious power. And we need strength to be patient. Why is this? You know, this patience don't mean like you go to the doctor and you sit down and wait until the doctor calls you. This patient needs persevering.
Yes, sir.
Just living in perseverance. Patiently continuing in what you do. Patiently going on. Things ain't going well, keep on going. That's what it means. And do it with what? Long suffering. And joyfulness. Joyfulness. I know that a lot of people have a lot of trouble. A lot of people don't have no trouble. But all to walk worthy of the Lord is to go on and persevere and do it with joyfulness. Because there's going to be an end to it.
Yes.
You know, we're going to receive the end of our faith one of these days. When you get to the end of something, you can't go no farther. There's going to be a day that our faith will cease. That our faith will end. We'll get to the end of faith. And you know where that, when we get to the end of our faith, you know where we'll be then? You know, when we get to glory, we won't need faith anymore. We'll be at the end of it. There's an end to faith. And oh my, whatever happens in this life, as long as we get there, that's what our Lord, you know, we'll get to it later. That's why He told that man, the rich man in hell, said, oh, son, all your lifetime, you had everything. You had every good thing. You had abundance. And Lazarus didn't have nothing. Now he's got everything, and you ain't got nothing.
Amen. That's right.
Which would you rather be in, the rich man or Lazarus? And you imagine how putrid you must be, and how sorry you must be that dogs laying around you and lick on you, and you let them because it gives you some relief for the sores you've got. Oh, to be strengthened. Oh, what wealth and riches we have in Christ. Then look what he goes on to say. Then we give thanks. This is why, as we increase in knowledge, we turn around and start giving thanks to God. Because He made us fit, made us able, suitable to be partakers with us saints that's already in glory. They're just in a different place, but they ain't got no more salvation than we've got. They've got no greater righteousness than we have. They've got no greater Savior than we have. They're just in a different place. And oh my, we give thanks because He delivered us. Saved us. Let out of the very power of darkness all the riches of Christ. Put us in the kingdom of His dear Son. Oh my. Oh my, here's riches untold. Unable to tell the worth of them. Unable to tell how wealthy we are in Christ. Look there in verse 15. This is the kingdom of God's dear Son. This is the Son of God's Son. This is the kingdom we're in. This is what I'm talking about. The riches. Talk about the unsearchable riches of Christ. Who is the image of the invisible God? God, who is invisible, became visible in His blessed Son. And not only that, everything that was ever made was made by Him. Look at every tree. Look at every star. Look at every cloud. Look at every raindrop. Look at every mountain. Look at every rock. Look at every river. Look at every creature. Everything that is, everything was made by Him. Things in heaven. Them streets of gold, them walls of jasper. All made by Him. All the things, whether you can see them or whether you can't see them. You know, you're sitting in your house. Sun comes up, you don't see nothing. It's dark in there. Sun comes through, you go to moving around, and the light comes through there, and you see all these little tiny particles floating through there. You can't see them until the light comes through. Oh my, and we couldn't see anything in this world, couldn't see the glory of God, and there's so many things that's invisible that you can't see until the light comes on. And there's lots of things invisible that we don't know, dominions and principalities, things that's working for us, God doing for us, and we don't see it until it's already accomplished. And then everything that you can see, every throne, every dominion, every principality, every power, everything that exists, exists by Him. You may not like it. You may get mad at it. You may badmouth people about it, but there ain't nobody in any position of authority or power that God didn't put there. I don't care if he's a despot, I don't care if he's a liar, I don't care if he's a cheat, I don't care if he's immoral, or I don't care if he professes to know Christ. He ain't got a throne, he ain't got any authority except what God gave him. And Christ put him there. Ain't that what it just said? So next time you get mad at one of them fellows that God put in position, you think about that. That's why I say when the police told me, yes sir, no sir, God made him a, God put him there for those who do evil. And that's why when he catches me, I just pay him a fine. Go on. What else are you going to do? That's exactly what he's for. There to be the sword against those that do wrong. And oh my, everything's in his hands. And watch this. In verse 17, and he's before everything. Before anything ever was, he was.
The
key. And everything that's going on right now, everything that exists right now, everything that's held together right now, guess who holds it together? He does. He does. And watch this now. I love this. He's the head of the body. Who's the body? That's us. That's the church. The church of all the ages. He's the beginning. He was the first one to come from the dead by his own power. And oh, God gave him preeminence in everything. And I love this. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Do you see everything by him, for him? God's fullness dwells in him. He made peace through the blood of his cross. What did he do by doing that? He reconciled us to God. Everything that exists that God meant to reconcile to himself, the saints in heaven, saints in earth, he reconciled us. And while we were enemies, he reconciled us. And he done it through his death. And he done it to present us holy and unblameable. Do you reckon we know that we can? How rich are we? How unsearchable are the wealth? Can we exhaust it? Are we too restricted in preaching Christ? Is there not enough in that for in him for us? Oh my. Well, I'm going to have to quit, but I want to show you two verses of Scripture. Proverbs 8 again. Proverbs 8. I want to show you two verses of Scripture. You know what I read this morning there in Hebrews 1. All that whole chapter of Hebrews talks about the Lord Jesus Christ. Did God say to ever any angel sit down here? No. What is angels for? They're just ministering spirits. But God said unto my God, sit at my right hand. Thy throne, O God, is forever. Thy scepter is a scepter of righteousness. God spoke lots of ways and lots of different times in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, but hath in these last days spoken in his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of everything, by whom also he made the worlds. And he upholds the world by the word of his power, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. After he by himself purged our sins, sit down at the right hand of the majesty on high. You see, anywhere you want to go, we're facing him, looking at him, considering him. Proverbs 8:18. Look what God's going to do for us. Look what it says here. Riches and honor are with me. Talk about riches. You want riches? Spiritual riches? Riches of Christ, riches and honor are with me. Who? The Lord Jesus Christ. Yea, durable riches and righteousness. Durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice gold. Look over in Isaiah 45. Isaiah 45. Now I'm through. Isaiah 45. Verse 3. Look what God says He's going to do. I will give thee the treasures of darkness, and hidden riches of secret places. Oh my, secrets are dark to the world. The dark to everybody but his people. I'll give you the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places. And here's why I'm going to do it. That thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which calleth thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. I'm going to take you into my word, into the secret counsels of myself, and the blessed things of my word. And I'm going to hide, I'm going to show you the secret things, the secret treasures. That's what he says he's going to do. Oh, please pray for me that I'll always preach Christ, preach my blessed Savior, preach the unsearchable riches that's in Him. We need nothing else. Need nothing else. And those who have not come to Him, those who have never come to Him, come to Him now. Come to Him now. Embrace Him now. Acknowledge you need. You know who he gives riches to? The poor. People don't have nothing. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for the kingdom of God is theirs. And oh my, you come to him now, and you'll be made rich. And I didn't even scratch the surface. Rush through. Father, thank you for meeting with us tonight. Thank you for your precious word. Oh, how we love you, how we need you, how we acknowledge you. Thank you for this unsearchable riches that's in Christ. Thank you for the grace that's been given that we may preach him and his unsearchable riches. God, teach us, teach me what it is to preach the Lord Jesus. Teach me what it is to take your word and give me wisdom and knowledge and understanding to open it. Give us all that wisdom, that knowledge, that spiritual understanding to grasp it, to see the secret things of it, the hidden things that's in it. God, dig out of this treasure of yours the things for us and show us the great wealth, the great riches we have in our blessed Savior. In His name we thank you. Amen.